your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Hey, my friend, it seems your eyes are troubled, care to share.
Oh, before we begin today, let me add to our holiday spirit with some heartwarming news stories. University of Virginia President John Castine has announced he will not accept any pay raise offered him this year. Governor Tim Kaine had already denied raises to other university employees due to the state's financial shortfall, and the school's endowment has lost nearly $1 billion since the country began its spiral into recession. Yes, a truly tremendous self-sacrifice by school president Castine. Walmart has been one of the few businesses not hurt by our country's recent financial downturn, so they apparently had no money to share. Minnesota found Walmart violated state labor laws 2 million times by cutting worker break time and willfully not stopping managers from having employees continuing to work while off the clock. The company settled the suit for $54 million. Similar lawsuits had Pennsylvania workers winning $78 million, $172 million in California, and $50 million in Colorado. I guess you found ways to be helping the needy after all, Walmart. And finally, local musicians Dave Matthews Band donated $200,000 to several groups for uplifting and rewarding reasons. High school groups receive money for musical programs, reading and writing events, as well as environmental learning. There's money for low-income family needs, at-risk groups, and other initiatives. The band's charitable foundation, BamaWorks, helps remind us what holiday gift-giving is supposed to be about. Happy holidays, everyone. Today's news being brought to you by the letters R and M and the number 1. All right, let's rock and roll straight into our show today. We're going to have a brief guest in just a moment, but let me welcome Meredith Richards.
Good morning.
On to today's program. Hello, Ms. Richards. My understanding is that the card promoting today's program had Meredith Brooks listed. While she's quite the famous musician, she sings a mean and nasty song, and I have never heard Meredith Richards say anything mean or nasty. Have you?
Well, not publicly.
Not publicly. Yes. Should we dial up your husband?
You might want to talk to him.
Okay. Meredith Richards is here today to talk about rail usage and commuter rail. She is the chairwoman for the local Piedmont Rail Coalition and a former member of Charlottesville City Council. And we will be jumping right into that topic in mere moments. But for those of you who have been listening to this program for quite some time, Santa Claus will be here next Sunday for much of the hour making calls to local kids to talk with them about what they would like for Christmas. He has stopped by briefly on his way through Charlottesville, flashing by to pick up things from some of our local businesses. You know, they only have so much work that they can put out at the North Pole. So he has stopped by briefly to make a call. My understanding is that we have some kids on the line. Santa, are you ready? Of course, I'm always ready. Hello, hello?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Is this Will or Alex or Kevin?
This is Will.
Will! Oh, I understand that you're working with some cookies, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Please make sure to make one for Santa.
Okay.
Can I ask what you might want for Christmas?
Yes.
What would that be?
Wii, it's this video game thing.
Oh, my goodness.
You'd want to give me.
A Wii? Wow, you must think you've been very good this year. Have you been?
Yeah.
You don't sound so sure.
Okay.
All right, I'll see what we can do. Oh, you remain being good for the next week or two, okay?
Okay.
Okay, anybody else there that
I'll give you to Kevin.
Okay, thanks.
Actually, Alex. I'll give you to Alex.
Thanks, Will.
Hi.
Merry Christmas, Alex. How are you doing?
Good.
Oh, we've been thinking about you up at the North Pole trying to find a good gift. What would you like?
I would want the Snoopy called Nani, and Pokemon Ranger game.
Oh, okay. Let me put you down on the nice list for that.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Please remember to leave me a cookie.
Okay.
Oh, anybody else there?
Yeah, Kevin.
Kevin, okay.
Kevin. Hello?
Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, I'm very busy. Oh, so many things to do.
I'll bet.
Oh, what can we get you?
Hang on a second. The number one thing I want, if you can't get the other stuff, the number one thing I really, really want is the Star Wars The Clone Wars Lego Republic Fighter Tank.
Oh, my goodness.
And the only place to find that is Target, because that's the last place I saw it. And I have this catalog that says only at Target.
Wow. Well, I'll have to send one of the elves to Target. Goodness. You're very prepared.
Yep.
All right. Well, I need to be prepared for next week, so I'm going to say goodbye to everyone, okay?
Hang on. There's still other stuff.
Oh, well, I have so many things to do. Are there any more people there to talk to?
No, that's all of them.
Okay. Well, you send me a message, and I'm sure to get it, but for now I have lots of other people to call.
Okay.
Oh, Merry Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodness, Santa. Thanks for stopping by for that. Oh, I must run off now, okay? I'll stop back by next week. All right, Rick? Okay, Santa, if we have to wait till next week, we will. But you'll be here next week at 11 o'clock, right? I'll be here. All right, Santa. Thanks. Santa will be back next week at 11 o'clock. If you'd like Santa to make some phone calls to your kids, please make sure that they're the right age. Santa gets so upset when he calls somebody who says that they don't believe in him. All right, well, let's get into today's program now that Santa has gotten us started. We do have a friend of the area, Meredith Richards. Meredith, thanks again for coming on, and thanks for giving Santa a little bit of your time today.
Oh, it's so important. It's his time of year.
It is. I think that Santa is an important part of this time of year for many people. Maybe not everyone, but for many people. So Meredith Richards here today, chairwoman of the local Piedmont Rail Coalition and a former member of the Charlottesville City Council.
Right.
Now, Meredith, we're going to talk about the railroads. We're going to talk about railroads as commuter trains for people, not for transporting goods across the nation.
Right.
Although that's been a greater topic with the fuel issues that have been going on for the year. But you're very heavily involved in this in making rail a much greater part of the human life. Tell me, what has gotten you so involved in this? Why is this such a big part of your life?
When I was a college student at the University of Colorado, Rick, I lived in Houston, Texas, so I had to commute to college, you might say, and with very little means for conducting my college career, I was not able to take the plane like many of my roommates did and my college mates. I'd rode the train every Christmas, every holiday, in the fall, and then again in the spring to go home for the summer. I rode the train, and I loved it. I thought it was a very relaxing and civilized way to travel, even though in that case, between Denver, Colorado, and Charlotte and Houston, Texas, that was quite a long trip, and of course I was riding coach. But I did sort of fall in love with trains at that time and with train travel. And then as a member of City Council, I became very much involved in a group that was actually a statewide group called the Committee to Advance the Trans-Dominion Express. The Trans-Dominion Express was a rail service that was being proposed for Central Virginia that would connect Washington, D.C. and Richmond with the far southwestern part of the state in Bristol. And it was proposed, of course, to connect Charlottesville as well to Washington and Richmond. And that would have been a great improvement to our quality of life. So I was very involved in that, and that just evolved into a slightly different interest, which is promoting passenger rail initially we were interested in Charlottesville to Washington, but that has expanded to the entire U.S. 29 corridor. And now the Piedmont Rail Coalition is actually representing communities up and down the corridor from North Carolina to Northern Virginia and trying to improve both the frequency and the quality of passenger rail service that's available to us.
You talk about passenger rail service.
Right.
This is meant to be commuter rail, or is this meant to be people who just want or need to travel from our area, let's Lynchburg, Charlottesville, to Washington, D.C., for whatever reason, to go see a show, to go see families, to go shopping for the day,
right,
or to travel up to New York.
Correct.
So it's not meant for somebody who works in the D.C. area who can live in Charlottesville and avoid the traffic, correct?
That's the purpose of it is certainly multiple purposes for the train connection from Charlottesville and Lynchburg to Washington. It's still not going to be a high-speed train that we're working for, and that seems to be very possibly going to come to us within probably a year. It's not going to be, it's not going to cut a significant amount of time off your car commute. And it's still going to be about a 2-hour and 20-minute train ride to Washington from Charlottesville. It's unlikely, you know, that's a bit outside the boundaries of a commuter, a daily commute, because you have to come back on the train as well. That said, a number of people would probably use it for business purposes, particularly if they aren't daily commuters to the Northern Virginia area. And but the train is for so many people. It's for everyone. It's for families. People love to travel with their children on the train because the kids can get up. They can move around. They can watch videos. They can go to the lounge car and eat. There are restrooms right there on the. It's a great way for kids to travel. They can play games and just enjoy the trip. For students, it's a great way to get around, as I did in college. And we have 20% of University of Virginia's enrollment is from Northern Virginia. And, of course, they and their parents make multiple trips between the two locations during the year. We have tens of thousands of alums of UVA who live in Northern Virginia, and who come to this area for games and for reunions and, homecoming weekends. So we're not just talking about travel in one direction. We're really talking travel in both directions. And then tourism. This has a tremendous potential to boost tourism for all of Central Virginia. When you think that there are 18 million visitors to Washington, D.C. every year, and many of them coming from countries that are quite accustomed to riding the rails as a normal part of life, and if just 1% of them got on the train and came to Charlottesville and stayed overnight every year, we're talking about 180,000 room nights added to our economy.
We are talking with Meredith Richards here about rail usage, commuter rail, a new program that is being given by the state, I guess a grant, if that's the correct term to use. She's the chairwoman of the local Piedmont Rail Coalition. Let me ask you, and this just leads to so many questions. And
it does.
Listeners are welcome to dial up 979-0919 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS for a question that they may have for Meredith Richards. So let's stick with Charlottesville. Certainly listeners in the Lynchburg area may be heavily involved in this, and I want to hear them, because I don't know where the station is in Lynchburg, or for those further north, because the train is also planned to stop in Manassas and Arlington.
Yeah. No, pardon me, Manassas and Alexandria.
Manassas and
as
Alexandria.
As well as Culpeper.
Okay, so
a little further
certainly
south.
we have listeners who can hear us in Culpeper.
Mm-hmm.
But I know where the station is in Charlottesville, right off Main Street.
Yes.
It is an unattractive station.
Yes.
It needs a lot of work. The parking lot is horrendous. You can lose your car in a pothole in the parking lot.
It is so true.
The grant, to my understanding, is for the tracks themselves.
Correct.
How do you make it appealing to a consumer, to a potential rail passenger, to use the rail if they can't even get there? It's like going to a restaurant that you know serves good food, but the outside of the building is filthy. And so you're like, well, what is their kitchen like if the outside of the building is disgusting?
Well, I grant you that the parking lot at the West Main Street Station in Charlottesville needs attention. It needs to be paved. And what we really need in Charlottesville is structured parking. We need a parking garage at the rail station. I think the localities are going to be are going to have to, if they want the service to succeed, they're going to have to make some investments in their stations. Now, the Charlottesville station is privately owned. It's not owned by either Amtrak or by the city of Charlottesville. It's owned by a private developer who has been trying to sell it for a good number of years and has not succeeded. But it does need some upgrades. There's no question about that. It's also a very small station, and there's no what you would call platform that would be that people load and unload from. They're basically at ground level. In Lynchburg, the Kemper Street Station is lovely. It was it's undergone a significant restoration. It, like all the stations on the U.S. 29 corridor, are historic stations that have been renovated and restored. And there are many of them that have been restored that aren't in use as rail stations. But Lynchburg, Charlottesville, and Culpeper, and Manassas all have, as well as Alexandria, all have working stations that are historic and have been significantly improved. Kemper Street Station is wonderful. I really don't think that there are any issues about the attractiveness or of that facility. Culpeper has a beautifully restored station, but there again, they have parking issues. So certainly this proposal for a new daily train between Lynchburg and Washington, D.C., comes with some challenges. And one of the challenges is going to be the localities to make those rail facilities as easy to use and attractive as they can. But yes, that's got to be part of the process.
Now, $17 million, correct? That's what correct. The grant has been given, $17 million.
Yes.
Now, two questions. Is any of the money allowed to be used for the stations themselves? And where did the money come from? Right. I mean, during this, because all we hear these days, budgets must be cut. Everything, you know, even whether it's educational, whether it's social services, whether it's military, right. Doesn't matter what your viewpoint is as to what's at the top of the hierarchy, budgets must be cut. And yes. Here we are, suddenly there's $17 million to give to this program that you've been fighting for a decade or more?
Yes.
Without any money passed your way.
Well, here's the difference, Rick. We have to distinguish between money that's available for capital improvements. And that would be anything like the kinds of facilities we've been talking about, the stations, the tracks, the infrastructure, the signal systems that the trains require for safe travel, or for rolling stock, which is train lingo, rail industry lingo for trains and locomotives. And the state has, since the Warner administration, has had a dedicated fund that's set aside for those kinds of capital improvements. And it amounts to at least $23 million a year that's dedicated strictly for rail improvements. Fund is fed by the taxes that are charged on vehicle rentals. Many of which, of course, are paid by people coming in from out of state who rent a car to get around. And it also includes truck rentals, any kind of vehicle rental that's a short-term rental, not a long-term lease, but short-term rentals. 10% of what you pay on that rental is paid into taxes. Now, only a small percentage of that goes for rail, but that is where rail in Virginia is getting its capital improvement money. On the other hand, the $17 million that you're talking about is something totally new and outside the box for Virginia. Virginia has never had a source of money to pay for rail operations. That is what it costs to pay the crews and to run the locomotives and to buy the fuel to run the trains. And that's different. And the Rail Enhancement Fund is not programmed to pay for that. So this is an entirely new thing for Virginia. It's an entirely new way of doing business for rail. It's the first time it's ever happened. And what the state is proposing is that from, as I understand it, from efficiencies within the Department of Rail and Public Transportation that have not been, that have been allocated for other projects and not been spent at this time, they are finding funds that will not be drawn from other needs. Road needs, social service needs, health needs, all the other things that are strained right now.
And right, because you've got, well, just on a local basis,
right,
all these University of Virginia employees who nobody got a raise this year.
Yes, including us.
I mocked President Castein to start the program, but I know a fair number of these employees who they got no raise. And right. Here we are giving $17 million to the rail system.
Well, that's $17 million over a three-year period. So that's about
$5.5 million.
$3.5 million. I don't mean to trivialize what you're saying. For that amount of money, what we're getting is a new daily train on two different corridors, not just on our corridor, but on two corridors of the state. That $17 million will pay for two demonstration projects, each one lasting for a period of 3 years. And one will be between Richmond, Virginia and Washington, D.C., and the other will be from Lynchburg to Washington. And if these projects succeed, if they are successful, if the ridership justifies, further investment, then the state's going to have to find a sustained source of funding, if at all, if it possibly can. And I think it probably will. There are 14 other states that have been partnering with Amtrak for a number of years to offer regional passenger service within their borders. This, incidentally, Rick, is not what you call commuter rail. It would be technically, and in other ways, it would be more correct to call it intercity passenger rail, because commuter rail usually, by all the industry definitions, commuter rail serves suburbs, and they come in suburbs of large metropolitan areas. People come in from the suburbs to work, and they go out again in the evening. It's like a transit system or a metro system, except it's a rail system. Like Virginia Railway Express in Northern Virginia is actually a heavy rail system. It runs on standard tracks owned by Norfolk Southern and CSX. But it is a commuter rail system. And the other part of that definition is that the trains come frequently, carrying passengers every 15 minutes during rush hour. And that is quite distinct from what we're proposing and what we're looking for, which is one daily round trip between Lynchburg and Washington, D.C., that would make stops up and down a corridor of several hundred miles in length.
Meredith Richards, chairwoman of the Piedmont Rail Coalition, and on the front page of last Sunday's Daily Progress, actually. If you want to go back and look at that online, you might find a pretty picture of Meredith Richards, if you're not sure exactly want to put the face.
Very tiny.
Very tiny. 11:25 here in the wake-up call. Feel free to dial in and ask your questions. Sean is here today to patch you through. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, or WNRN Studio, if you want to come across the online instant message system. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley partly cloudy today. Highs 45 to 50, warmer in Richmond. Mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain tonight. Lows 40 to 45. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, 30% chance of rain. Highs 55 to 60. Right now in the valley, 46, 41 in Lynchburg. Some clouds in Richmond where it's 43 and 41 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support coming from Treat Yourself Right Massage Therapy and Body Work today. They offer sessions to help with stress reduction, injury recovery, and general wellness. Treat Yourself Right has certified massage therapists with full-time experience in massage since 1999. Treat Yourself Right is on Arlington Boulevard near the Barracks Road Shopping Center. More can be found at tyrmassage.com. We also want to thank Blue Ridge Graphics. They've been with us for quite some time. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street here in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear with professional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgt-shirts.com. And let's see, back with Meredith Richards on the program today. Meredith, let me, here's a question that comes across on the instant message board. You mentioned this last week as a new paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
The paradigm I'm referring to is something I mentioned, that the state of Virginia has never invested in rail operations, passenger rail operations, prior to this. We have all of our rail service, with the exception of the commuter rail service in Northern Virginia, Virginia Railway Express. The trains that come through Virginia are all operated by Amtrak, and Virginia makes no contribution to those operations. Those trains run on passenger ticket revenue and federal dollars, and they are not, it's not a state partnership. But a number of years ago, Amtrak started working with states to offer intercity shorter distance rail service. Now, we here in Central Virginia, we have two trains that come through. For example, in the Charlottesville station, we're on the Crescent Line, which runs from New Orleans to New York, and we're on the Cardinal Line, which runs from Chicago to New York. The Cardinal is not a daily train. It runs only 3 days a week. The Crescent's a daily train. But those trains are very difficult for us to get seats on, for one thing, because Amtrak's reservation policies reserve the bulk of the seats for long-distance passengers, or certainly longer-distance passengers than just 100 or so miles to Washington from Charlottesville. And because they're running full, they are simply full trains. It's very difficult to get on those trains, and you cannot do so reliably. And then I think the biggest problem with those long-distance trains is that they run into a lot of issues with sharing the tracks with freight. Competition with the freight railroads is with the freight trains is a big issue for passenger rail, and it's probably one of the main issues, one of the main reasons why the trains often run late. And people do not want to ride a train that runs late.
They're always late.
They're not always late, but they're frequently. For example, the Crescent last year had a 64% on-time performance rate.
And the Crescent, is that the one from Chicago to New Orleans?
No, that's the one from New Orleans to New York.
Okay.
And the Cardinal, however, between Chicago and New York, that Charlottesville is one of the stops, was only 18% of the time on time. And that's an abysmal on-time performance rate. So if you have plans, as I understand one of your staff people here in the studio has to take the train to the inaugural. If you're taking the Cardinal, you might want to build in a lot of time to your plans for it potentially to run late. So regional rail service is on-time service. It depends on being on time. For its success, imagine a train that starts out in the morning. Starts out fresh in the morning, an hour away in Lynchburg. That's a very, very different process than starting out in New Orleans the day before and running late. These trains are not going to be late. So there are a lot of advantages to having regional service, and other states are discovering that. And furthermore, most of the ridership increases that are taking place now across the country, and ridership is up dramatically across the country on Amtrak trains, almost all of that, those gains are taking place on these regional services within state borders. And so I say this is a new paradigm for Virginia because we've never done this before, regional intercity service.
I'm curious, how does this work with a lot of the information that was provided before and after this grant was announced, mentioned the fascinatingly large growth in the number of riders by 2030. And where do these numbers come from? Because they all seem to be listed by people and organizations with a positive tie into regional railroad. None of the airline companies came out and said, oh, yeah, rail usage is going to increase by, it was double, nearly double from whatever, 2000 to 2030. Where did these numbers come from?
You know, I think that's an excellent question. I want to clarify one thing before I start on that issue. But this $17 million is what the Department of Rail and Public Transportation is proposing to invest starting next fall, possibly next fall, in these two rail services, these two demonstration projects. But I always want to make clear that it's not a done deal yet. It's not already in our, it's not already programmed for those services. It's been proposed. It's up for approval by the Commonwealth Transportation Board in January. And if they approve it, there are still contracts that have to be signed between Amtrak and Norfolk Southern and the state of Virginia. and, you know, three-way contracts. There are a lot of things that have to occur, and they have to fall into place before the service is a done deal. That said, I think your question about ridership is right on. It depends on who's making the projections and what their models are. So it's very hard to really look at what these projections are and see, you know, tell anything about the accuracy of them. Last year in 2007, there were 48,190 people who got on and off trains at the West Main Street Station in Charlottesville. And there were almost a million people who rode trains in Virginia last year. So I think what the models do is they take your present ridership and the level of growth that it's seen, and they compute what it would be if you added a new train. And it's all mathematics. And I don't think it's very reliable. I think the projections are typically actually not overstated, but understated. And very often...
Understated?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I completely believe that. I can tell you what's happening in other states. When they add these regional services, for example, the Capital Corridor service in California, it met its 12-year ridership predictions in the first 3 years. And that's not an unusual scenario. Its business plan called for it to be bringing in a certain revenue within 10 years. It met that in the first 2 years. And it's because when people discover the convenience and the advantages of riding these regional trains, for just imagine getting on a train in Charlottesville, wanting to go for a day at the museums or a day of shopping or for the inaugural. To Washington. You know, you can leave in the morning, be it in Alexandria, and take the metro to your destinations, to the mall, to your business destination or the museum you're visiting. You can be there by early morning, and you can be back here in Charlottesville at 7 and never drive on 29 or 66. There's so many advantages, and it's a very affordable way to travel. But what happens is people discover this. You know, they hear about it, they read about it, they get on the train, and they get quite hooked. And the riderships on these regional services tend to explode. There are services that started out with one train 3 years ago and now have five trains running because the service is so, the ridership increases have been so strong. I can't say that will happen on this corridor. And I think we need to be very careful about that. But I think it's anecdotal, but I don't trust the models. And they have very rosy projections, you know, something like 117 to 190,000 people riding this train right on our corridor by 2030. And I just am not one to pay really close attention to those numbers, because I've seen so many studies that make such wildly different projections. So it really depends. I learned that one study of the Trans-Dominion Express that was released just last year had very, very poor ridership projections. And you looked into the model and read carefully what they excluded from their analysis. They excluded every resident of the region who owned an automobile on the assumption that it was only people who could not possibly drive who would ride the train. They excluded out-of-state students, anyone whose location, beginning location or ending point was out-of-state, out-of-state tourists, or any commuter who was riding, oh my goodness, what was it, who wasn't a daily commuter, any business travel that wasn't a daily commute. It was the most restricted pool. It probably restricted 90% of the potential ridership, and that was done by, I might add, a very well-respected research, transportation research group, but it was embarrassing, actually. And I just think these models are difficult to relate to, for me anyway.
Meredith Richards here in the studio today. as we talk about a new rail program, regional rail program here in the Charlottesville, Lynchburg, Culpeper area. For those who can listen, maybe you're down in Lynchburg on 89.9 at the moment. Let's take a quick break.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, the recent terrorism in Mumbai, India, included two victims from Nelson County. Now the teachings of the local Synchronicity Foundation are on display as the widow shows uncommon grace. According to The Hook, Charlottesville and Albemarle County appear to be on different paths for future water sources. And this week's expert shares thoughts on how to ring in the new year with style. The Hook, approved as mistletoe during the holidays. And let's thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support. If it's keeping warm and having fun in the outdoors this winter, Blue Ridge has the gear for you. Whether your outdoor adventure is winter running, hiking, climbing, or snowshoeing, you'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barrack Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville, the Mountain Inn at Wintergreen, or at brms.com. And not that you would, but don't go anywhere, because at noon, Drew Thompson is here for Les Temps Purdue. The best of 80s and 90s alternative, no Milli Vanilli, no Bob Seger, no Cher. But you will hear The Cure, Kate Bush, and Wall of Voodoo. And request, always welcome, Les Temps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, back in action with Meredith Richards, local chairwoman from a Piedmont Rail Coalition. And if you recognize the name, former city council member here in Charlottesville. You've got a question of your own, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. It's one of those educational shows where I find people just sitting back and learning, and then I get all the feedback about, why didn't you ask that question? And they come see me at work. Well, dial up and ask your own question, 979-0919. I'm curious, Meredith, all this, you know, we've talked about it, $17 million being put out for the regional rail program during a time when I think many people were caught off guard. In fact, some of the articles I read seemed like you were caught off guard. Charlottesville Mayor Dave Norris, sort of unexpected that this time, that this is the time when you finally got the money after all the after all the work that's been put into this. Do you think that the lower, gas prices were very high and everybody said, oh, we need public transportation. We need some sort of commuter system, whether that's here in Charlottesville with better bus service and something else that expands and extends out to our little areas like Crozet or Lake Monticello or other areas with larger, you know, pockets of residential areas. But now with the gas prices coming back down, has the regional rail lost some of its excitability?
You know, I think the demand right now, well, let's go back to, wind back to like last summer, before the gas prices got as high as they did. And yes, it's down now, unfortunately, I suppose. But what we were seeing in Central Virginia was a demand that wasn't being met. Amtrak can tell you that for every train that runs through Charlottesville, there are as many people turned away as get on the train. It's been so difficult to get on these trains that we have a large demand for service that has not been met for quite some time. It's been an interesting experience having the broadcast media working on this issue and doing interviews and news stories, and invariably their reporter's instincts takes them to the train station where they interview people who have invariably, I've seen many of these shows now, these news shows about our proposed service. They go to the rail station and they pick someone at random who's at the station. Most of the time, that person has not succeeded in getting a reservation, in getting a seat on the train they came for. go online and try to get something next week. Or of course, next week is a peak period.
But yeah, I mean, you don't show up at the you don't show up at the airport expecting to be able to buy.
No, but a lot of people go to the train station to buy tickets in advance. Now, you don't do that at the airport. But many people walk into the train stations and they just go to the desk and they make their reservations for some time in the future. It's not a drop-in thing for I drop in, I buy my ticket, I get on the train. You're right about that, Rick, and I didn't mean to imply that. It's just that people come to make reservations at the train station, like going to a travel agent, perhaps, would have been. It's just anecdotal evidence, to be sure, but my experience as a rail advocate has been that people constantly come up to me and say, you know, I tried to get a reservation on that train. I couldn't get one. I wanted to take that train, but I couldn't get on it. And that's an experience that we're having. There has been a really pent-up demand for rail service on this corridor. Charlottesville is one example of a train riding community that has demand that hasn't been met for quite some time. And in fact, per scheduled train that comes through, we have the highest ridership. We put more people on those trains per scheduled weekly train than any other station in Virginia.
You mean percentage, filling the percentage?
In terms of the number of people who get on each weekly scheduled train in Charlottesville, it's the highest number. It's not percentage. It's just the highest overall number.
Oh, do you mean if the train is full, that 20 of them came from Lynchburg, but 100 of them came from Charlottesville? Is that what you mean by highest number?
I mean,
I'm sorry to be stupid.
I understand. That needs some explication. What you have is overall ridership, for example, for the year, annual ridership. In Charlottesville, last year was 48,000 some odd people who got onto trains in Charlottesville. There are 20 scheduled weekly trains that come through Charlottesville. On the average, we put more people on those trains than any other station in Virginia. Now, some stations like Richmond have many more riders, but they also have far more trains. And if you make the same calculation in Richmond, we're still putting more people on our weekly trains. And I don't know if that makes it any clearer. Richmond has 126 trains that come through every week. And Newport News, I believe, has 40 some odd. Fredericksburg has 40. And these are just the Amtrak trains. This is not VRE, which serves Fredericksburg. So we have trains that are turning people away. The transit agencies and commuter rail across the country are finding that in spite of the drop in gas prices, their ridership increases are being sustained. The only explanation that I would have at this time for that is that people start riding the trains because the gas prices are high and they find that it's a very convenient way to get to work. And this is commuter rail and transit rail that I'm referring to. And they start seeing the advantages of it, and they stay. They stay with that mode of transportation. So we shall see what occurs. But, you know, people hate traveling on 29 and on 66. This is about giving people choices. No one's saying you have to get out of your car, it gives you a choice of another way to get to Washington. You know, overwhelmingly, the people who travel to Washington from Lynchburg, Charlottesville, Culpeper, overwhelmingly they drive on 29. And this gives people an alternative way of getting there that will actually get them there faster, and that gives them the opportunity to sit on the train, use their laptop, use their cell phone, read the newspaper, have a cup of coffee.
Text without driving.
Without driving.
You can text without driving.
Yes, yes.
All right. Hey, Sean,
I'm not going to go there.
Sean, I see a call coming in. Let's write it down and bring any questions through that way for the remainder of the hour. Meredith Richards here on the show today, chairwoman for the local Piedmont Rail Coalition, as we talk about regional rail and the strong possibility that there will be a big state. And I guess it's also federal. Is there federal money in this?
You know, I can't say how much of that $17 million may be federal dollars. The State Department of Rail and Public Transportation has not actually publicly discussed the source they're using at this time. They will in December. In fact, this coming Wednesday, at the next meeting of the Commonwealth Transportation Board, the Department of Rail and Public Transportation is slated to lay that all out in more detail. So it's one of the reasons I don't have the answers to some of your questions about where that money is coming.
All right, put your headphones on. This is I'm going to let this caller come in over the air rather than reading his question. This is a regular listener.
Oh, okay.
Who donates to the program as well. Gary from Albemarle. Hey, Gary.
Hey, good morning. If I ride a bus from Charlottesville to Washington, I don't have anybody else's tax dollars funding that ticket. If I fly the plane from Charlottesville to Washington, no one else nor the taxpayers fund part of my ticket to get to Washington. If I drive, no one else has to fund my cost for getting to Washington. Do I understand it correctly that trains in this country receive tax dollars from either the state or feds? And if so, I'd like to know why I should fund somebody else's ride, and I'll just hang up and listen.
All right. Great question, Gary, because Meredith, continue on with this, because I think I have a quote here from you that says, there's not a public passenger rail system in the world that operates without a subsidy.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. That's the one thing that Gary, was that Gary who said that?
It was Gary. Yeah. Gary on the phone, yes.
Yeah. Gary, that's the one thing you're right about. But what you're not right about is the lack of subsidies for every other modality. In fact, I'm going to take these headphones off. It's hard to talk with them on. I'm hearing myself, and the feedback is difficult. You know, in the, say, 25 years of funding, of federal funding for transportation, which, you know, amounts to hundreds of billions of dollars, I've got some tables I could show you that show that about it's about 48% of the federal tax dollars that are spent on transportation are spent on highways, infrastructure that serve rubber-wheeled vehicles, including your car and your bus.
Because your tax money goes towards building the roads, even though maybe not towards you buying your car and getting in it.
Well, and in the case of airlines, for example, the federal government has subsidized and bailed out many an airline over time, and of course it pays for all the safety and security systems. It's, you know, airline safety systems are all federal. They're federal. They're
TSA,
federal dollars.
Yes. TSA mm-hmm. is a federal.
TSA is all federally funded. All the people who operate the towers and who watch out for your safety and security in the airports and on the planes, those are all federal employees. Typically, every airport in this country was built with federal dollars. And so I think that your premise that the other modalities are not subsidized by tax dollars is quite, you know, I hate to say it, Gary, but it's just wrong. In fact, over a 25-year span, the last 25 years in America, the federal dollars spent on rail amount to only 4%, 4%, 4% of all transportation funding at the federal level. In Virginia, it's even worse. We have something called the Transportation Trust Fund, which is paid for by your fuel taxes. And a combination of those fuel taxes and your sales taxes go into building the road system in Virginia, the state highways, and all the secondary roads you travel on in Albemarle County. Those are all paid for, Gary, by tax dollars. And every time you drive out of your driveway, you are driving on publicly funded infrastructure. And then in Virginia, actually 78% of those taxes in the trust fund go to roads, and another 12% goes to transit, and 12% goes to airlines, and until quite recently, the last 4 years, 0% of the Transportation Trust Fund in Virginia went to rails. It was only during the Warner administration with this rail enhancement fund I referred to that we've had money actually that we spend on rail in Virginia, and that's still only 1% of our total transportation budget in the state. So I know it's not as transparent sometimes to people who are used to driving on public roads and traveling on public subsidized airlines, but indeed we have a great deal of a long way to go before rail is subsidized to the level that other modalities are.
Meredith Richards here in the studio today as we talk about regional rail. She's the chairwoman for the local Piedmont Rail Coalition and a former member of the Charlottesville City Council. Let me take a moment and thank 45fix.com. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate no obligation estimates available anytime. That's 45fix, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg, as well as 95.3 in Lexington and several other of our stations around the state. Just a few moments left, 11:57 here on the Wake Up Call with Meredith. You know, Meredith, just time for another question or two. My understanding is that aside from any state or federal or local monies that may be spent, that they're to upgrade the system, the tracks, the what I call the stoplights or anything else, so that the passenger trains can coexist with the merchandise trains or whatever the proper term for them is.
Freight
trains. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. I'm sure others are laughing at my lack of vocabulary. Is that the freight train corporations must put money into this as well. And I'm curious as to how that benefits them.
Well, anytime you improve the infrastructure, the freight trains are running on it as well. And if you add safety through new signals, or if you add sidings that allow, or new kinds of switches that allow trains to move faster on the tracks, actually, it's the freight railroads that are benefiting, you know, the most, because they are running the most trains on those tracks.
Whose tracks are these?
That's something I know. It's very people don't realize this, but they think it's like the highways, but that they're publicly owned, but they're not. Almost all the tracks in the country are owned by the freight railroads, and these are the same tracks that the passenger trains run on. There's only a very tiny portion of the tracks, and mostly that's in the northeast corridor, that are publicly owned, actually owned by Amtrak or the states. Occasionally a state will own a short, you know, trackage. But most of them, almost overwhelmingly all of them, are owned by the freight railroads, and the passenger railroads pay their way on those tracks by leasing time on them. And the public money that goes into investing in improvements on those tracks typically improves the speed and the capacity. You can run more trains and faster on the tracks. These are the public improvements that take place. And if you're a freight railroad and you're running 20 freight trains for every passenger train that comes through, guess who benefits the most from that?
All right.
It is the commercial railroad.
Time to finish up our conversation. Meredith, thank you so much for coming in today.
Well,
I appreciate
it's a lot
that.
a lot to think about with rail.
Well, and it is, and I appreciate your effort over the past, well, it's been more than a decade, but certainly in a public view here in our area, at least a decade of participation, and I hope that you'll come back on the program another time to discuss it further.
I'd love to.
Well, great. Thank you. Again,
thank you for having me.
Next week, Santa will be here to make some calls. If you'd like to maybe get your child on the list, email abstractme@AOL.com. We can exchange an email or two about what is needed for Santa to call your children or grandchildren. Oh, and our annual reading of How the Grinch Stole Christmas is still part of the program next week. Drew Thompson up next with Les Temps Perdue. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.